taking care of business. Path to Pro Radio is on.
I got to change my strings on the guitar.
Yeah, welcome back to Path to Pro Radio. I'm Jimmy Ray, and that's Bill Crespo.
Yeah, we're having a good time. And, you know, today we got an incredible guest, Laura D. Benedetto. I love saying her name. She is CEO of a company. She's her story begins as I want to read this because it's just too perfect. Laura's story begins with bullying, abuse, bankruptcy, and burnout. She overcame everything, building a successful business at age 19, and went on to retire at 37 with a six-figure passive income. She has learned the formula to build a life of easy joy. She's done some TEDx speaking and wrote a book called The Six Habits. So, Laura, can you hear us? And we're excited about talking to you about all the things you've done.
Well, hello. Yes, I can hear you, and it's great to spend time with you.
Great to have you, Laura.
This is great. So, Laura, can you give us a little bit about your background? Because this is so cool how this all started. How did this whole journey of the speaking and the, you know, all the business stuff that you've done and bankruptcy, tell us the backstory in all this.
I guess the central point in all of it is, you know, we all have the same desire to thrive, be successful, survive. I mean, if you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, nothing really matters unless the bottom layer is really taken care of, which is, you know, your shelter, your food, your breathing, your this and that. And that was a big part of my driver. I found out very early on, like 18, 19, I'm deeply unemployable. They enjoy having me run stuff, but they don't enjoy having me on their team. It's one of those things where I'm not going to be allowed into hell because they're going to be so afraid that I'll take over. So it's kind of the same thing.
I like that.
That's hilarious.
Oh, for sure. So, you know, I really wanted to be able to survive, and just being, you know, kind of unemployable and all that stuff, I had to create my own path. So I started a business when I was 19. Prior to that, I went through the whole childhood stuff. I had a boyfriend that was domestically abusive in every single possible way, and I don't want to get into that because it's just not fun to talk about.
No, right.
But it's kind of like, just imagine someone having a boot on your neck and standing harder and harder and harder and crushing you, and that's what this guy was doing in my spirit. So got myself out of that, started a business, tried really hard to be successful, screwed up a lot.
Laura, but, now when you started your business out of that relationship, what kind of business was that?
That was the marketing company. That was actually, it's still going today, and I still own it. So
cool.
All these years later, the marketing company is just doing really well. It's one of those things where you either know how to do it or you don't. You understand people or you don't, because people are like, oh, well, how do you do marketing? Well, if you understand people, you can kind of understand it, because at the end of the day, you're not just trying to like coax money out of people's wallets and treat people like they're just
ATMs.
A product.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, I think there's a lot of people that like screw up on LinkedIn, and I get these terrible messages all the time, and it's like, wow, does that actually work? Because it didn't today.
Right.
You know, and I've been able to help a lot of people figure it out. But anyway, I just kind of made everything work over a number of years. I retired early because I was getting, believe it or not, kind of burnt out somewhere around like 31, 32 at that point. I'd already had 13 years in the business. So looked for a successor and all that stuff. And I retired, and then I was like, wow, I achieved all my success the wrong way. So then I ended up studying human behavior, figuring out what it takes to make people truly joyful, because I wanted to be truly joyful. It worked like crazy. So I was like, yo, this is amazing.
Yeah,
I'm going to write a book so I can share this with people.
Awesome.
So
that's so
great. There's more to it. And yeah, so here we are today with me, my husband, the ammo company, the book, the marketing company, all the things.
Yeah, so I got so many questions, because what attracted me.
I know, right? There's so many different facets to Laura.
Yeah, so we could we'll have to do a part two with Laura later. But this whole journey that you've been at, and you know, I love what you said about studying about human behavior. So what did you find was the biggest change that you had to make to get on some right course? Because I love this unemployable thing, because I had the same issue. But what did you find out about yourself that got you on the right track? What was that one thing or that something that you realize.
Well, which part of the story? Because at every part of the story, I was doing something wrong. Which one are you referring to?
Well, when did you go right? That moment, and then you said, "You know what? This shit's going. It's going together. It's coming together."
Well, there was many different times when I did something right. You know,
I guess when in the beginning, when you first launched that first company, and said, "I'm tired of this crap. I'm doing something else." And what was it then?
Coming out of the gate and charging top dollar for my services. People took me seriously. I didn't apologize my way into business. I came into business, frankly, with a lot of hubris. Thank God I got away with it. But I had a lot of confidence in my abilities, and I knew that I was good. So I charged, you know, for a 19-year-old, $100 an hour, $150 an hour. That's a lot, especially 24 years ago. God, I feel old. Anyway.
And that was marketing?
Yeah, marketing. So, well, the thing is, my advice worked really well then, and it works really well now. So why shouldn't I charge a premium for it? So that was one of the first things I did right.
Right, right.
So that really made a huge difference. Like, I never, ever undervalued my services. Now I charge considerably more than that per hour for my time, and I get it.
You know, it sounded like you didn't have a problem with the imposter syndrome.
I mean, sometimes I did, but I just kind of sucked it up and did it anyway. The problem with people and their imposter syndrome is they let it stop them. I felt like a fraud, and I did stuff anyway.
Yeah, and that's a huge difference.
Now, do you want to explain what the imposter syndrome is for those that don't understand that?
Yeah, imposter syndrome is you just feel like a fraud. You feel like you have no business doing something, and you're like, well, who am I to be doing this? I mean, I still have those thoughts now. Who the hell am I to be running an ammo company? I'm a business expert, damn it. And that's what this company needs, and that's what this whole industry needs, not just, you know, weapons enthusiasts. Like, we need people who actually legit know how to run companies and build movements. Like, so who the hell am I? That's who the hell I am. And imposter syndrome stops you from doing stuff if you let it, because you believe this vicious little jerk in your head that's like, you can't do that. Who the hell do you think you are? You know, you actually don't take action. You feel like a fraud. You feel like you're going to fail. And I felt that way anyway. But here's, again, that whole Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If there's a threat to your actual survival and you'll lose your home if you don't do it, too bad if you feel like an imposter.
Yeah.
Get your butt out there and do it.
I love what you're saying, because that's that churn that someone has to make, right? Because imposter syndrome could implode yourself. And then what you're saying is you'll still have it, but you got to keep moving on. And I think a lot of people don't. They don't move on. They just let that imposter syndrome take over, which is so cool that you've said that, because a lot of people that are listening are people that are going, you know what, the market's changing. I don't know if I could do this year. And you're saying, what's the best advice on that to someone who's doubting themselves? Because you kind of laid it all out there really clearly. But what would you give advice to someone that is worried about their imposter syndrome taking over?
Honestly, get a coach or get someone to talk to about it, you know, and assess your risk tolerance, because risk is part of life. Frankly, that's also where the fun is.
Yeah.
But risk is a huge part of life. I mean, walking on a tile floor barefoot, it carries a lot of risk. You could fall and crack open your skull, and you know, every leaving the house, you know, every intersection that we drive on or even walk across is dangerous. There's danger everywhere. So acknowledging there's danger everywhere is helpful, but also having someone to talk it through with, not someone who's a wuss and doesn't actually know how to live their own life. And not, for God's sake, not one of your parents, because they'll be like, don't do that, because they love you and they don't want you to take any risks at all.
Yeah.
But someone who's done what you want to do, that's the person you want to speak to, because they can tell you honestly, you know, yeah, you've got what it takes, or maybe you need to learn this and this, and then you can do what it takes, or just do it scared, man, and figure it out. Like,
yeah, that's so true. You know, when I was coming up before I got into radio, I talked to some local radio guys, and they said, listen, if whatever it is you want to do in life, put yourself around those people that are successful doing it. And that's the best way to learn.
Very true.
It. And that is so true. And that breeded confidence bred success. And invertly, success breeds confidence.
Yeah.
It's a happy little cycle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I wanted to ask you, you said something about marketing, and this whole marketing thing has changed dramatically over the years. But there's some basic, probably fundamentals that we have to understand about marketing. But what are the important aspects of marketing today that you see that's different from before when you first started?
Just the technology, that's all. You know, not to be too reductivist, but the core of marketing has always been the same. It hasn't changed. Mm. You have to appeal to people. You have to appeal to your peers. You know, there are certain aspects like the technology, and, you know, oh, today maybe TikTok is popular and we're worried about Chinese spying and how do we do this? How do we do that? The technology will continue to evolve as humans evolve. But as human beings, what are we trying to do? If I'm trying to market to you, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to convince you that buying from me is a great idea. So if I sell to you and dehumanize you in the process and treat you like an ATM without a heart, without feelings, without any of this stuff, you're not going to buy from me. You won't even like me. But if I lean in, make you feel loved, I meet your needs, I understand who you are as a person, and I honor and respect that, and I don't talk at you, I talk with you, you're going to lean in. And even if you never buy from me, you'll tell your friends or you'll invite me on your show.
Yeah, yeah.
Another thing.
Such a good point. Yeah. Listen, Laura's the most together person.
I know, right? I do have a question about you, your upbringing.
You were going to ask me about my bedroom closet.
No, we're going to go there.
We're getting there, yeah, for sure.
Okay. We're working our way through the kitchen. We're now in the living room.
But
the kitchen's a good subject. You should ask me about that.
When you were coming up, now, your mother and father, did you get your personality and your drive and your togetherness from either of them? What was that story?
Good, good.
I take after both of them, both good and bad. I got both of their best and worst qualities. I absolutely love hanging out with them. And they're just really fun people. They're like very, very loyal. They're very honest. They're very open. They have, you know, some differing qualities between them. Like, my dad is really super creative. He's very good with his hands. He's very mechanically inclined, loves animals. Like, he's got this Dr. Doolittle thing where, like, birds will, like, land on him. He can pick up wild turkeys and hug them and whatever. And I actually have the same thing. My friends call me Snow White. I'm not kidding. Like, you know, in my yard, I live in Florida. You know, there's like all kinds of frogs and this and that. And I'm always rescuing this and rescuing that. And, you know, I'll be out doing landscaping. A frog will literally just jump on my face. Yeah. Yeah. But I love it. I'm just like, oh my gosh, yes, it's a frog. I'm so lucky. You know, other people are like, ew, it's a frog.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Just real. Like, sorry for you, man. It's good luck. As long as they don't pee on you, you're having a good day. But like, my mom, you know, she's just very like, she's extremely aggressive and fighting for what she wants. She taught me a lot of lessons about not letting people steamroll me. Those are really, really good things. My mom is very, very good with English. My dad's good with science. I'm good at both. I mean, I really got their, you know, their very best qualities, but I also got the worst. I mean, both of them, you know, can have a temper and be impatient. I'm the same way. It's something that I have, you know, I pray on, I work on, just to make sure that I'm as kind as God asks me to be, and, you know, as calm and tranquil as I ask me to be. And, you know, they've evolved the same way. Like, you know, I take a look at who they are now, and they're both patient, loving, thoughtful, considerate of others, respectful. And, you know, it's been fun to watch them not just evolve as my parents, but also evolve as people that I admire. And, that's just really, really lovely.
All right. So do you have dirty dishes right now in your sink?
No, I do not.
Damn. I thought that. So, and we talked about your closet is very neat, but you have put together something that's so interesting in this book that you wrote, which probably relates to a lot of your stuff that you just said, right? Your upbringing and what you learned there, and then in this business. And I'm thinking that, this is my opinion, based on the way the market is going, that some people are going to have some challenges here that they're going to have to face. And
that's every day, brother.
Yeah, and you went
every
to bankruptcy.
Day of everybody's life. Yeah, that sucked.
How did you get through that one?
Honestly, it was very difficult at first. I was feeling like a loser because I just needed the help. And I remember the kindness of my bankruptcy attorney at the time. I was 24 years old. I just really got taken for a ride by this unscrupulous real estate agent who was like, oh yeah, you totally need to do a condo conversion. Remember that whole mess?
Yeah.
Condo conversions were super popular. 20 years ago, 18 years ago, something mm-hmm. like that. He totally sucked me in. And, you know, I couldn't handle it. And I found it really psychologically destructive. Like, I just was not okay. And, you know, I got through it, like any other person does. Sometimes you just have to white knuckle stuff. But I remember my bankruptcy attorney saying to me, he's like, the only mistake you made was not doing this sooner. Look at all the stress you've put yourself through because you were avoiding this out of shame. Stop feeling shame. It's there for a reason. I was like, oh my God, your kindness is so nice.
Yeah, yeah. I love you.
But it was really important. No, it's, yeah. I mean, I loved what he said to me. And he's, it just, it made me feel less like a loser. And then what's been so useful about the bankruptcy is it forced me to get really, really good at money. Really, really good with understanding it, but also being of service to other people. So when other people are facing financial challenges, and they may actually have to do that, and I've counseled some people on this, I can say with a lot of confidence, you're not going to die. You might feel like crap right now, but the only mistake you're making is not doing it and ripping off the Band-Aid and give yourself the ability to breathe. No one can live under this kind of pressure if they're drowning. Just stop drowning. It's okay.
Yeah. And aren't you sensitive? And going through it, you're just so sensitive to the other people and you understand them. Even when I see a store, like a retail operation that's a mom and pop shop that was up for a year and then had to close down, it just hits me in the gut because I know I can understand what the possible backstory is on these people that had a dream and didn't work out. So it's kind of interesting that you said that. And I think that people are going to have to realize they're going to have to buckle up in this new market that we're in, whatever your business that they're in right now, and salespeople. What, and so you finally, you had all this experience, and then you decide two things. You write this book. Was this before the ammo company or after the ammo company?
Before. It was after I retired from the marketing company, and it was before the ammo company. And it's because when I retired, I felt like absolute dirt. Because I had achieved a great deal of success. I mean, tons of awards, multiple Fox News appearances, other like regional news appearances. I made lots of money, had lots of success. I had the respect of everybody in the area and lots of peers. And I even had a few people that hated me. Awesome. That's how you know you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, you know, like I kind of quote unquote had it all, but I was really miserable. And, you know, when you on paper check all the boxes and you're not very happy, kind of makes you feel like something's wrong here. And something was wrong because, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but yes, I got all those things, but I had achieved so much out of self-loathing, not out of self-love. And when you do things, it's important that you do it for the right reasons. I didn't know that until I started studying what went wrong. But like, even if you're going to go to the gym, if you go to the gym because you hate yourself, you won't continue going, you won't get the great results. And even, you know, the knowledge that you have inside the cells in your body, they'll know that you're not doing it for the right reasons. And you'll end up quitting, you'll have stubborn fat that won't go anywhere, blah, blah, blah. But if you exercise because you love yourself, if you do business things because you love yourself, you succeed and you pursue because you love yourself, not only will the journey be so much more joyful, it'll actually be much more fruitful, and it will more positively affect your life. So I found myself depressed as hell when I retired, which is odd, feeling like a loser, like I hadn't accomplished enough. I didn't have enough money. I wasn't successful enough. I didn't have enough awards. I didn't feel enough.
But you retired so early, so young. Could that have been why?
I know. See, you're perplexed the same way that I was perplexed. I was like, what is wrong here? So I wanted to figure out what I had done wrong. And I was like, well, I just don't know how to be happy, I guess. So I figured out what makes a person happy. And it's actually none of the things that I had pursued. It's more why you do those things. It's not like, you know, that you have money. It's not that you have adventures. It's why you have money and what you do with it and who you are as a person. So I was like, all right, well, the who I am part I can control pretty easy. What is this? So I started taking a look at what it takes to actually be a truly well-assembled, happy person. And it's not what you do, it's why you do it. Simon Sinek is famous for talking about mm-hmm. that. He did a TED talk that is significantly more famous than mine.
Right.
And you know, he's done a great job like expressing that point. And the thing about happiness is it's all a product of the way you think. So there's six distinct areas and they're actually mental habits just thought loops that just go over and over and over. So we're, you know, we have around 65 to 85,000 thoughts per day. 85% of them are the same ones as the previous day, and 80% of those are negative. So it's really hard to be a truly well-assembled, happy, tranquil, joyful, abundant, prosperous person if you're continually on this negative mental roller coaster. So get on a different roller coaster was my theory. So I ended up studying habit formation, which it's not 21 days or 30 like a lot of people would have you believe. It's actually 66. And since I have ADHD and I like to hedge my bets, I was like, all right, I'm going to create this 90-day thing for me to do. I'm going to see if I can actually live the truth and, you know, tell the truth in advance and just be this happy person for 90 days and then it'll stick. Okay, it stuck and it was amazing. And I felt amazing from day one. I changed my life. I decided to move to Maui. I started healing my internal bleeding. I started improving my marriage, finding more adventure, saying yes to life, getting rid of some of my social anxiety, and just feeling just this wellspring of possibility inside of myself.
That's great.
It was amazing.
You know, and sounds like this is the same kind of thing. If you wanted to lose weight, you know, you got to give yourself X number of days or time or months to get in the routine of the lifestyle before it really kicks in.
Yeah. I mean, lifestyle is the right word. So it's not about, hey, do these things for a short period of time and then you're all better. No, because you still have the habits that got you fat in the first place.
Right.
Also, you're also going to have the same habits that got you miserable in the first place. So you actually have to change who you are if you wish to have a different life. So I'm always famous for saying to people, if you wish to do more, and if you wish to have more, you must first become more.
Right.
That is very wise.
I like that. Yes. And you know what is, when you're talking about these habits, I think the biggest struggle, and you know, I coach around the country more on sales performance than anything else in technique, but this habit of, like, it sounds like to me that you take you have a full day. Like, you take everything out of a day, right? You don't just loaf around and you're watching your soaps and you're, you know, guys. But she does play with frogs, so that's a whole other thing. Well,
and I saw a picture of you with a dog. So
yeah,
she loves animals.
Yeah.
How much time do you spend with animals a day?
Hopefully, every single minute.
So you're an animal.
I have two cats as well.
Oh great.
Yeah. God, she's like my wife.
Yeah, I mean, like, even right now, I'm not alone in my office. I've got one cat here. My dog is in the next room. They follow me around. And, oh, there's my dog. Hello.
Can we talk to him? I want to get the back story. I want to get the real story on you. Can you give me the dog? I want to talk to him for a second.
Yeah.
She's deaf. Sorry, man.
Oh, sorry.
Terrible interviewee. She would just breathe heavily into the microphone. Yeah.
So the book is called Six Habits.
The Six Habits, yes.
Interesting. And the habits.
Number one best-selling book.
And the habits are what you need to get into the habit of doing in order to change your life for the better.
Not doing, thinking. That's a really critical distinction that I want to be really clear about.
Nice.
All right. So James Clear wrote a book about atomic habits. There's another one.
Yep.
Charles Duhigg wrote about, I forget it. It was something about like habit loops. I can't remember the title. I apologize.
Yeah, right.
But like, there's so many wonderful books out there about habit that really, really speak to the doing. This is the thinking. And my book is so far the only one I've found that actually goes in depth about the thoughts we have and the mental habit loops that we have and what the specific changes are. Mm. And if you think about the six habits, obviously I know the material better than anyone else. I wrote it. Hello. you can actually break them down into three key areas: your relationship with yourself, your relationship with your life and what happens, and your relationship with energy in and out. That's it. So if you can think about your life in those three specific areas and make sure that your thinking is serving you in your relationship with you, your relationship with your life and what happens, and then your relationship with energy in and out. If you can master those six areas, literally nothing will stand in your way. You can start businesses, you can have more sex, you can lose weight, you can move across the country, you can experiment and have cool adventures. You can be the biggest, most baddest version of yourself you ever wanted to be, because it all is a product of your head. If some other dumbass out there can do it, why can't you?
I just love the motivational style.
Yeah, yeah, I really do. Can you play in a band? Oh, we do. We can play in a band.
You are so motivating when you're speaking, Laura. So you really are a natural. You live what you preach.
Yeah, that's really cool. And, you know, do you think, Laura, this is that part of this, that you really have to observe yourself? Because isn't it hard sometimes to observe
100%.
Yourself?
100%. You can't do anything in life for a massive change if you don't actually observe where you are. Think about the GPS in your phone. If you don't have a point of origin, it doesn't matter about your destination. It doesn't matter, because your GPS cannot calculate the journey. It can't do it. Bust out your phone and go ahead and try. It'll be like, nope, we need an origin. Either the GPS of where you are now, or an address of where you are now, or an address of where you're going to be.
Yeah, right.
But if you don't know where the hell you are today, there's no way you're going to be able to map out any journey whatsoever. So you have to have incredible self-awareness. So I built this whole book, but the thing that I did that changed my life was a 90-day program. And I have that available on my website as well. That's the thing that will actually guide you for 90 days to live that life and to change your thinking. Because not only does it help you get where you want to go, but it also helps you to map out your starting point. It's like, okay, well, turns out I treat myself like crap. I learned this from my mother. I learned this from my father. I learned this from my school teachers, that I needed to sit down and shut up and I wasn't worthy. I learned it from my big sister, who was mean to me and told me I was ugly. I learned all these things. That's terrible. And you can actually look at it and see it in black and white. Wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
And actually acknowledge what's so. Once you acknowledge what's so, then you're empowered to, like, first of all, have the aha moment of, oh my goodness, this is horrific. I won't tolerate this. So then you can have that moment of inspiration. Inspiration doesn't come without awareness. So you have this incredible moment of inspiration. That's where you get the drive to even put one pinky toe on the path of doing 90 days.
So Laura, I've got to do this with you. I've got to do this with you. Let's say, because I love what you're saying. So I'm one of your clients, and you found out that I wanted this thing that I wanted to do and change, and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Can you just tell, because I want to hear how you talked to those people, because it's so interesting to me to see how you get me back on track. So I said to you, so Laura, you know, I'm sorry, my time management was all screwed up. I just was drifting around. And now, how do you talk to me and get me back on track? Because I'm so curious about how your style is.
Okay. Well, what is the thing that we're talking about?
So I'm lousy at time management. I'm letting all these interruptions happen to me, and I just can't get on track. And you tell me,
what's the thing you want?
I want to double my income. Because I want to be able to buy a home in Maui, so I could take, you know, vacations once a quarter over there and live over there, and then have my kids in an environment that's paradise versus city life.
Okay. Well, the first thing I would want to do with you is understand more specifics around your goal. Do you need to double your income in order to have what you want?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've got I want to pay cash for what I want in Maui.
Why do you need to pay cash?
Well, because I don't want to have debt. You know, I'm just, you know, my dad had a sixth grade education, and he was very conservative, and I just wanted to be able to live that way, because I was afraid of debt.
Okay. Well, sounds like there's a couple things here that we'd probably want to unpack. Number one, your relationship to money. Number two, your assumption that you have to pay cash for something. Two, your assumption that, you know, you have to do it, in a debt-free way. Sometimes you can actually use debt to your advantage. There's good debt and bad debt.
Mm-hmm.
But like, let's say you're screwing yourself over and you're not taking any steps towards the thing. I mean, that would tell me that something is holding you back, and it's probably fear. So I'd want to know what's stopping you.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Like, why are you stopping yourself? Because your time management, it's a symptom. Let's get past that crap, and let's actually like figure out, why are you doing that? Right. And it could be in the example you just gave me, you know, your dad had sixth grade education, blah, blah, blah. You might be afraid that he's going to judge you for surpassing him. You might be afraid that he will judge you or reject you for doing something that would go outside of his bounds of what a good life looks like. So we'd have to figure that out.
That was good. And I made up some of this stuff, but the sixth grade education, my dad was true. And then, yeah, he thought I was, you know, I started off, I had an entertainment company in my 20s. I did promotions. I went to Hawaii and lived there for about a year doing television at Magnum PI and all that.
He's on Magnum.
Yeah, I was on Magnum. And then started to get into real estate and sales in my 30, but he never really, and he passed away last year, but yeah, you hit on something that was really interesting, because you know, if I was at a grocery store being a clerk and working for 50 hours a week or 40 hours a week, because I did join the FBI for a short amount of time. He thought that was it. I finally got the government job. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that's what was the deep-seated thing, because I was outside. I was extremely outside the box for him.
It sounds like your father also gave you this message, perhaps not even meaning to, that there's a nobility in humble work. There's a nobility in staying humble and not spreading your wings too far, and just being a good, simple, salt of the earth person with not a lot of means, but with a lot of love. There's a something about the older generation where people moralize mediocrity. There's a lot of things happening today where people moralize all kinds of different behaviors. But one of the things that's very common in the older generation of the lower class and lower middle class is the moralizing of struggle. And that could be something that you subconsciously observed and witnessed and probably had to fight uphill against. So if you are, even if this example isn't fully fictitious, if you have found yourself sitting on your butt and maybe having imposter syndrome in different areas of your life, there's probably some part of it that is a reluctance to step outside the bounds of what you were always told your whole life was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Well, and I've always stepped out of the bounds. You know.
Okay, that'll be $150.
Yeah, that's $150.
I got
a lot of money.
Bucks, Bill.
I never get off the couch. That was actually really good. That was actually really
good.
Pass
that now, but okay, you got this one for free.
Okay, that's $300, Bill.
$300.
No, I charge $750.
$750,
oh,
Bill.
Shoot. Damn, do you take MasterCard?
I know. I have I am over here thinking, okay, this really on the ball lady. What on earth brought you into the ammo business? I mean, because that is, to me, that's like a 270 turn from marketing and whatever.
Yeah.
And so,
not really?
Oh, well, explain that.
Well, here's the thing. You and I and everybody listening, we all like the same thing. We like freedom, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We want to live how we want to live. We want to have all the resources that we need. So if you take a look at my first company, I have been helping people to be truly sovereign with their time and their money. With my second company, I've been helping people to be truly sovereign with their emotions, with their thinking, with their whole life direction, and handing them the steering wheel for their whole lives. My third company, Sovereign Ammo, is all about helping people to be sovereign with their constitutional rights and their ability to go kill dinner if they need to, protect their family, and spend their time how they like. So all of them are connected. It doesn't seem obvious until I explain it to you, like, oh yeah, sovereignty, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I'm all about freedom. But the thing about sovereignty is it's not just freedom, and this is the thing that I'm on a huge mission to help people to understand better. Sovereignty is freedom and responsibility. If it's only freedom, it's actually just selfishness, and that's not cool for anybody, including yourself, because it doesn't work. When you are truly responsible and you're accountable, you'll make your own money, and if you don't go sell, then you don't go eat. That touches the first company. If you're not really sovereign and you don't unpack your generational trauma and you don't actually work on your daddy issues, you're going to be stuck your whole damn life and you can't be a good provider. That's irresponsibility. You owe it to your family to, like, basically unmess up your head. You owe it to them. And to not do it is very selfish. And then if you want to be able to protect your family, be that good provider in case things go sideways, you know, you need to make sure you live in an area where you can do that. I didn't. I lived on Maui for over a year. And it was wonderful until it wasn't. But the pandemic actually, the pandemic itself was not the problem. It was people's reaction to it. So when people were locking down everything and citation happy, and Maui was definitely really aggressive with their citations, like yeah, I don't want to get into it. It'll just piss me off. It was just too much. And all of the lockdowns and everything destroyed my husband's brand new business. And I was so proud of him because he finally, like, he did this whole 90-day experience with me, and he became filled with courage and resolve and enthusiasm and joy. And he started a business all by himself, didn't need me, and he did it on his own. And it was the most amazing thing to watch my husband blossom into the man he always wanted to be.
Right.
And then all these stupid lockdowns took it away.
Right.
So
right.
That obviously ticked me off. So he had this idea. He's like, well, first of all, I think we need to move because psychologically we cannot handle all these restrictions and still be mentally healthy. I agree. So we decided to move to the free state of Florida just to be left the hell alone. And it's been a wonderful experience here so far.
Amen.
Yeah. And he's like, well, ammo is in short supply and I want to be the man and the provider. And I want to be able to protect you if things go sideways. And we don't know if there's going to be riots or the supply chain is going to get completely broken. I don't know if I'm going to have to go out and kill dinner. I have no idea. But I don't want to be unprepared. So I'm going to make ammo for us because I can't find it anywhere. Okay.
Right.
So he started to do that. And then the light bulb went off once he got very, very, very good at it. And his loads were like outperforming some of the other consumer brands that we did manage to get our hands on, you know, because he was teaching me to, you know, be a good shot and be responsible with my weapon and everything.
Right. Right.
And he's like, you know, I could do this for other people. I could build incredible quality ammunition. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And he's like, but I don't know how to run a business and you do. You're a business expert. Why don't you join me in this? Why don't you invest in this? So I did the business plan. I thought about it. I did the numbers. And I also measured it up against my heart and where I am in my life. And I was like, you know what? This fits with that whole sovereignty thing. Mm-hmm. He came up with the name Sovereign Ammo. And it just like, it fit me in the head, heart, and wallet, which I think is the test of every good decision we need to make in business is, does it fit the head, heart, and wallet? And, yeah, I decided to be the principal investor in this company. We are majority woman owned, me being the woman. And now we are out here selling ammo, and we've got a really cool deal on our website right now, the Santa's Fun Pack. It's got all kinds of ammo. It's got hollow points, and it's got the FMJs, and it's got some cool swag. And
now, what is that website, Laura? What is that?
It's sovereignammo.com.
Sovereignammo.com. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's so funny you saying this, because probably right when you guys were doing this, the same thing was going on in my life. I mean, I'm in Virginia Beach. Jimmy and I are both in Virginia Beach. So we're next to SEAL Team 6. We're down to the Navies. And so I train with Special Ops and some Navy SEALs instructed. And I went from zero to 100 million miles an hour on using a weapon and training. And I just got back last weekend from doing nighttime low light training. So it's such an interesting thing that you said that's so friggin' important. Memory, emotion, sovereignty, freedom. And you actually changed based on your beliefs. And
I did.
That's so cool.
Well, thank you. I think that, you know, initially I found it, I mean, I have no problem being transparent about this. Initially, I found it very heartbreaking to leave Maui. I invested everything, you know, all my chips on the table to move away from my family and change a life and say goodbye to some friends who I knew would never speak to me again, you know, just because they're terrible at keeping in touch. And, you know, I went all in to move there for a dream. And I'm so glad I did. It was one of the best things I ever did in my whole life. But it really broke my heart. I had to break my own heart and rip my own heart out of my chest, because I deeply believe in sovereignty. And I believed in that, and I still do, much more than living a dream life, because it had become a nightmare.
Yeah.
I cannot psychologically compromise myself after I had just done so much to liberate myself in every single way that a person could be liberated.
Mm-hmm.
I was so free financially, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, everything, and all this stupid lockdown stuff, which clearly I disagree with.
Right.
You know, it damaged me, damaged my husband, it damaged millions and millions of other people.
Oh,
look
yeah.
what the poor people in China are still going through. Like, this isn't okay.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. And Hawaii
so
had
I
one
left.
Of the strongest sanctions of the country in terms of states. And they still
do.
Yes,
they
do
did. And a lot
place.
Of people don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, they hear from me like, oh, well, how was your experience? Must have been amazing. No, when you're afraid to literally go to the beach because you don't want to be a weirdo wearing a mask on the beach. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. Like, no, I'm not going to comply. The rule is dumb. I mean, we have a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. And that's how I roll. Like, your rule is dumb. It is not based in logic. It is based in emotional soothing. And I'm already emotionally soothed. You need to soothe your boobs. I'm not doing that for you. Get the diaper off your face.
Oh,
like,
Laura.
It's so stupid.
Oh, this is so much fun talking to you, Laura. We really, really appreciate it. Let's talk. Let's give your name of the book again, Six Habits, and your website.
It's The Six Habits. If you go to The Six Habits, TheSixHabits.com. Mm-hmm. Not only can you get your hands on the 90-day program, which is literally, pay attention, guaranteed to deliver a result. It is money back guaranteed. You do the work, it will work. But you can also get an autographed copy of my book. You can take the assessment and you can figure out exactly which of the six habits is where you should start. I'm at sovereignammo.com as well, in case you need some freedom seeds, or wait for it, a bullet journal.
Yeah, I like it.
Free dad joke with every purchase.
Freedom seeds.
Yeah, really, I like that. Look, Santa's Fun Pack, only $5.99. I'm looking at it right now. This is pretty good.
Nice.
You know, because I
there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, guess who's your next customer here on Ammo?
Did you know, because of this, the first people who take advantage of this also get a copy of my book, my audio book, the assessment, and all that stuff is my free gift.
I like it. Wow, look at this. I'm looking at it. I just bought I bought 1,000 rounds for $300. This is cool. $500. Wow, this is a good deal, people. So, Laura D. Benedetto. A nice southern name.
Yeah.
So
southern Italy, maybe.
Yeah, southern Italy. And gosh, it's been great, and we've got to have you back, and I got to introduce you to more people.
Thank you. I'm excited about all the things. Thanks for having me to talk with you. It's been loads of fun. Thank you for laughing at my stupid jokes. That makes me feel good.
Too much fun, Laura. Yeah. I hope you have a happy holiday in the free state of Florida.
Yeah.
Thanks.
See you later.
You
bye.
Too.